The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that silently spreads, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must eat
back. Hey, welcome back to the top of the second hour of National Intel Report live on Republic Broadcasting Network, Liberty Lighthouse on Mojo 50 Radio, and the Patriot Nation Radio Network, anywhere else you find or watch or listen to the show. Like I opened the show with the very first hour ago, I have not acknowledged Pride Month until today, but for the rest of Pride Month, I would like to be referred to as Your Majesty. And if you're not willing to do that, then you're a racist, misogynist, homophobic bigot. Now, having said that, I promised you a guest, and it is Mr. Lloyd Brunson, who was here last week, and I really, really enjoyed our chat last week. Thank you very much for coming back, Lloyd.
Great to be here. Thank you.
And last time you were here, it was last Thursday, it was the day that your Supreme Court case went to conference.
Yeah.
And I believe you might have an update for us.
Yeah, people probably know. We expected it to be denied, and it was, with special circumstances that I won't get into. But that gives us a chance for another conference. We get one more conference. And I'm excited because the conference that they denied me in was the last conference before the break. And so we have all summer to raise awareness, to let people know that there's still a chance for a conference. And just as important what the justices do or don't do is the fact that people are signing their letter supporting a binding oath to the Constitution. They're supporting Article 6 of the Constitution that has the very clear words, they shall be bound by oath to this Constitution. And so they're supporting the Constitution, they're supporting that binding oath, and showing our representatives, showing the justices, and showing the world as we gain momentum in exposing this, that America is waking up to the very important concept that there's a binding oath and we didn't know it.
Right. And you said, I pulled your website up, I put it up on the screen there in front of us for those of us watching in video form. Your campaign has sent out 7,941 letters as of today at last count.
Yes, but that's in addition to the 70,000 letters that were sent out with my brother's petition, because this is a different plaintiff, different lawsuit, but very similar, asking for the same causes of action. So it's like a 1-2 punch, and it's going to be a 1-2-3 punch if we have to.
Well, one of the viewers over on Republic Broadcasting's YouTube channel apparently is very excited to see you. Their chat message is just, yes, Brunson!
Oh, that's great. Yeah, this is about an awakening. You know, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And I think the meaning of that is you have to know the truth. If you're enslaved, if you have a problem, my dad used to teach us, he says, if you know what the problem is, it's half solved. And if you don't know you're enslaved and you don't know why, then you can't solve the problem. So that phrase, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free, I think we could easily interpret it as we learn the truth in the most valuable document, the greatest weapon we have in defending our rights. It's not too late to push back. And that's the Constitution of the United States. And as we start with Article 6, the binding oath, and realize that Congress has given themselves immunity, and even state statutes having to do with perjury exclude politicians, and the oath of office, that's violating Article 6, requiring a binding oath. So America, just waking up to that, and in unity, sending letters to the Supreme Court supporting this petition, which is what the petition is about. It's really about the oath of office. It's about a breach of security. It's about a national security emergency. And this is a Rule 11 petition. They wouldn't have allowed it to be filed unless the court clerk and maybe at least one of the justices decided on their own that they would file it under Rule 11, which they would not do unless the court, the clerk of the court and whoever else had to conclude with their looking it over that it was of imperative public importance. So this is a unique situation. This is the first time someone representing themselves has ever been able to file a Rule 11 petition for writ of certiorari. And it's just great to see people getting excited about the Constitution, about a binding oath, and holding this contract, this binding oath contract, in the faces of our representatives and our justices.
All right. So you brought up a couple of things there. The writ of certiorari, which is not only, you know, yours is the first time that a pro se litigant has been able to request that writ of certiorari, but it's even beyond that. It hasn't been done since the 1970s. So
that's right.
Even with, like, you know, big, fancy, high paid lawyers, they don't do it.
It's never been done in the history of the justices' careers in the Supreme Court. Yeah. It's the first one that they've ever seen filed. And like you said, it wasn't, the last one was in the 70s, filed by the federal government, having to do, I was told, with the Nixon administration. So this is a unique, and it's a historical time. It's a historical document. And as we find out and learn the truth and participate in a unified way, you know, sending letters to the court and showing them that we support this petition, it's a great beginning to really push back in a very powerful way to save this Constitution and to save our constitutional republic.
And for anybody out there listening who didn't catch last week or doesn't know Loy or his case, it's basically a lawsuit saying that, was it 358 members of Congress?
388 defendants, but about 385 either current or former members of the U.S. House and U.S. Senate.
Okay, I was being dyslexic for a moment there. 385 current and former members of Congress who have violated their binding oath by not doing their job. And the binding oath that Loy has mentioned here in Article 6 is, I'm going to read this paragraph. This is, you know, straight from Article 6 of the U.S. Constitution. The senators and representatives before mentioned, and the members of the several state legislatures, and all executive and judicial officers, both of the United States and of the several states, shall be bound by oath or affirmation to support this Constitution. So that, I mean, that's why police officers and judges everywhere and at all levels all take an oath to the Constitution because of that right there. And as I'm a mailman, your postal carrier has to take that oath. They're part of the executive branch of government.
All attorneys, all judges, and some state school teachers are required by their states to do that. So All local politicians, state and federal, yes, those are a lot of people that have taken an oath to the Constitution.
And how many of them haven't even read it?
Well, and that would be the next step, wouldn't it? It's like show them that they are neglecting a binding oath and that they could be held accountable. And now the next step is read what's in it, right? Mm-hmm.
So you, I had a thought and it just flew out of my head as soon as I opened my mouth. it's a binding oath. It's I forgot.
Well, there's in my book that I have at 7discoveries.com. This is a pocket-sized book. It has a pocket constitution in the contents, but this has Q&A in it, and it explains a lot of things having to do with the seriousness of the oath. But inside the front cover is the congressional oath, and the congressional oath is different than the presidential oath. It seems to have more teeth. They both are should be just as binding and just as important and mean the same thing, but it's worded a little differently.
Right. So, I remember what I was going to say.
Great.
So it's regarding the binding oath, but then the states that have passed the laws,
perjury statutes.
Yeah, perjury statutes. Where you can't sue your state representative if they lie.
If they're enemies of the Constitution and they swear to uphold and defend it, but they're really enemies, and they come out and say it, like someone by the name of Barack Obama that told the world that the foundation of the Constitution was fundamentally flawed. He's basically saying it was flawed. It's like, you know, you can't do that, but they get away with it. Why? Because we, the people, aren't up to the level of just knowing that point that they right. have to uphold and defend it. And if they defame it, if they say that another constitution is better and they would replace it, like I think a Supreme Court justice did by the name of Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Mm-hmm. I was going to bring that up.
It's like, excuse me, you just violated your oath. You should you should be disciplined. You should be censored, or you should be kicked off the bench for that.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
You're giving aid and comfort to enemies of the Constitution when you say that. And that's what Barack Obama was doing. He was giving aid and comfort to enemies of the Constitution. The definition of that, according to Article 3, Section 3 in the Constitution, he swore to uphold and defend, is treason.
Yep. When Ruth Bader Ginsburg, God rest her soul, when she was asked, if you were going to form a new country, what constitution would you base your government on? And her answer was almost knee-jerk. Well, it wouldn't be the United States.
Unbelievable.
And she's a Supreme Court justice. Yeah. That should be immediate grounds for removal from the bench.
Absolutely. And that question should have been asked to begin with. She's committed perjury right there. She should have been arrested under perjury statutes.
It's just like when President Biden stood in front of a podium during the whole COVID nonsense and stood there and said, all of my constitutional experts say that we can't extend the eviction moratorium, but I'm going to do it anyway. Again, you swore an oath, and then you just, not only are you violating your oath, you're standing at a podium at a press conference in front of cameras live broadcasting to the world that you're going to break that oath, and nothing was done about it.
Exactly. Now, our military, we may be launching a campaign to send letters to military generals reminding them of a binding oath. Their number one responsibility, when they become an officer, they swear to uphold and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. That is their number one priority, their number one job. So there are people out there saying, oh, we're under military law, the Constitution no longer exists. It's like, are you kidding me? That's the number one obligation and job description of our U.S. military. And so we need to send messages to them. Letters, we're going to probably launch the campaign to encourage them to uphold their commitment to the Constitution, their binding oath to the Constitution, and to defend it against domestic and foreign enemies, right? Mm-hmm. So think about that. The military has taken an oath to defend the Constitution against domestic enemies.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to start reminding them, and America needs to wake up, and they're waking up to that fact too, that they've sworn to defend against domestic enemies is our Congress. Our Congress is our police force, basically, to protect the Constitution. And so 145 members of Congress go to Congress and U.S. House and Senate and saying, hey, we're the police force, and we see evidence of crimes. We see an attack, mm-hmm. and it looks like it could be domestic and foreign, and we better investigate it. You know, if you're attacked, you don't wait until you're imprisoned, until it's over. You investigate immediately. At the first slightest breach, you investigate, right? It's like any problem. You don't wait till it gets too big to solve, like a fire. It's a fire, and if there's a flame, you go and you put it out, and you find out where that fire came from. And so 385 members of Congress refused to investigate that flame,
right.
Refused to do their job, and they're the defendants in this federal, in these two federal lawsuits, where there are two now at the Supreme Court, and they're on the shelf. They're both on the shelf, and this one is going to be going to another conference. It was denied the first conference. We have one more conference, and that would probably be in October. So with enough public awareness and public support, public opinion, believe me, the justices respond to public opinion, especially if it's supporting the oath they swore to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States. So this is a great campaign. So we're excited to see the letters coming in at LloydBrunson.com. And you don't have to go there to do a letter if you know how to do a letter to the Supreme Court. But LloydBrunson.com shows you a simple way to do it. You can do it. You can download for free the PDF to do a letter, or for a $2 gift, you can do a letter that actually goes to a fulfillment company, and it gets printed and folded and put in an envelope, and postage is put on it. And that'll go to the Supreme Court with your personal message and your signature.
That's awesome. And I want to say, like, December 30th, 1990, I raised my hand and swore an oath to support and defend the Constitution when I joined the U.S. Navy. I then, for decades after that, I joined the American Legion. And the preamble to the American Legion Constitution is recited at every American Legion meeting. So once a month for decades, I read the preamble, which also swears to defend the Constitution of the United States. Then I became a mailman, and surprise, I had to do it again. And then a year and a half, 2 years ago, I was sworn in as constable for my little sleepy little town here in Pennsylvania. And what I've noticed in all of those oaths is it always lists the Constitution first. You know, the oath of enlisted man in the military is, you know, I do solemnly swear to support and defend the Constitution of the United States of America and obey the orders of the President of the United States and the officers appointed by me. But first is the Constitution, then the President, then the officers above me.
Yeah.
It kind of sounds like a priority thing to me. Like,
you know. Well, you know, I know people that are in federal positions and police department positions that have been there for many years. And one of them, I said, did you take an oath? And he couldn't remember.
Couldn't remember.
He could not remember if he had taken an oath because he'd been in so long. And another person working in a high place in federal government, they all take the oath, couldn't remember either. Mm-hmm. So you think, good grief, this is the supreme law of the land.
Yeah.
This is, you know, the accountability that comes with it. And that's what we're raising awareness about, is the accountability. And as the public awareness grows, as the letter campaign grows, so does the accountability grow. And so that's one of the reasons I'm so excited about this campaign, is America is becoming familiar with the Constitution in a really powerful way. And so simply, it takes 2 minutes to do a letter. Watch the video, LloydBrunson.com. Watch the 4-minute video. It explains the case, explains what the situation is. And to just take 2 minutes to actually engage in a meaningful way to support and defend the Constitution, that's better than any course you could take without engaging. So it's just a fantastic way to be introduced to the Constitution with action.
Yeah, I'm all for anything that introduces new people to the Constitution or even refreshes the memory of those. Yeah. Anyway, take that time for, take a quick little sponsor break here and tell you about, this one, the Wellness Company. The Wellness Company, TWC.health. Use the code Lighthouse while you're there. I'll save you a little bit of money. The Wellness Company is the, it's all of the doctors that were canceled during COVID because they stood up for your medical freedom. They've gotten together and have formed the Wellness Company. It's doctors and pharmacists and pharmacies that you can get your virtual care from. You can get your medications from. You can get your supplements from. You can get most. I mean, let's face it. You can do most of your health care over the internet. There's a few exceptions. There are some things where you actually have to go in and see a doctor face-to-face. But most of the stuff that doctors do, you can do it online. So you can use the Wellness Company, the unwoke, the anti-woke healthcare company that actually cares about your medical freedom. TWC.health. Use the code Lighthouse while you're there. Sorry, got to try to make a buck while I'm doing this.
That's important. Without free enterprise, we wouldn't have anything in this world. But anyway, it's about free enterprise, it's like they can give up everything. You go into the mountains without anything.
I make so little money at this that if I make a dollar, I get excited. So I woke up, it was yesterday morning or the day before, I don't know, a day or two ago, really recently, I woke up to a little notification on my phone that said, hey, you've got an order from your website. And it was somebody buying one of my t-shirts. And I'm like, sweet, I sold a t-shirt. Yay! And I got all excited. It's one t-shirt. And I got
excited. What is it? What does it look like?
Well, that particular t-shirt that he bought says, across the front, it says, men are from Mars, women are from Venus, all other genders are from Uranus.
Okay. Hey, you know, I think I'm going to order one of those. I know someone I will give it to. I probably wouldn't wear it in public, but hey, it is a planet, right?
Yeah. Oh, and I spelled it that way too.
Yeah, that's very, very clever. Pretty provocative there. But I have a friend that would get a kick out of that. I think you have to show me how to order one of those.
I'm trying to pull them up on the screen so I can show you some of them. But the most popular one I have is a big black picture of an AR-15. Okay. And it says, it's because I'm black, isn't it?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm going to have to look at your whole arsenal of T-shirts.
Yeah, well, liberty-lighthouse.com. And then click on shop and you can find all the, all the goodies there.
Liberty-lighthouse.com?
Yep.
Liberty-lighthouse? Okay. Got it.
Well, good. I finally got it to load on, you know, over here on the other computer so I can pull it up on the screen and show you something. Okay, so what's the next step for your case? You need support. You need letters.
Well, yes. And this is what I suggest people do. And I'm doing it. Go to LloydBrunson.com and watch that video that a volunteer, he's a producer, he's a big-time producer, produces for Mike Huckabee. And you watch the five-minute video, it shows about the letter campaign. And then if you like it, then find someone that is a leader of a group and go to them and have them watch it in your presence on their phone or their laptop. And once they do that, ask them if they will show it to their group. And if they will, then you be there and you help these people do a letter on their laptop or their phone or however they want to do it. And then ask them to do the same. Go to a group, go to a family member, go to, you know, a club and do the same thing. And if we can grow this exponentially and we have some plans in place, I'm going to be meeting with some people that could really make a big difference that know about the case and they've been positive towards the case, some pretty high profile people. I'll be with them coming up in West Palm Beach. Coming up in a couple of weeks. So do that and just see how you feel watching the video and then watching them watch it and see how they feel about it. And then go to the group that they show it to and then get them. And I mean, it's just an incredible opportunity. It's so simple. Just have them watch the video and say, hey, let's support the Constitution with a letter to the Supreme Court. I mean, if we wanted to support the Constitution with a letter, where would you send it? And we have an opportunity and a reason now to send it to the Supreme Court because we have two petitions there, right? So it's a very cool opportunity, a very rare time in history where we can actually support the Constitution with a letter that is accepted by the Supreme Court as friends of the court, and they file every single letter. And then you'll be able to tell your grandkids that you helped your family and you participated in this movement to support the Constitution with a letter.
I was going to bring that up again, too. It's a friend of the court letter. And they all get logged. Like they
every single one of them get filed. Yes, it's important. It's a part of the petition.
That's awesome. All right, so you got 70,000 that went before. You got 7,000 that have gone from your own website. Let's make that 7,000, 70,000.
So we're approaching 80,000 letters, and I think we can get 1 million letters this summer. We may get more, or at least multiple hundreds of thousands. And so that's the goal. We're going to just go full speed ahead and get a few people. I've been introduced to Tucker and he's interested in learning about this. He hasn't supported it yet, but President Trump, you know, truth and retruth an article. And so we'll see what happens over the next few weeks. See if we get a big boost.
Well, it's certainly, you've made it easy. You know, you go to LloydBrunson.com and click the you know, $2 donation, write a letter campaign, and they do it all for you. It's $2. Come on, think about it. A stamp is 63 cents plus an envelope, plus your paper, plus your ink. $2 is nothing.
Plus the fulfillment company, plus the credit card charges.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Credit card charges. Yeah, I forget about
that. So it adds up there. We tried to keep it as close to just break even as we could. So,
and it sounds to me like you got it pretty close there. So, I got up on the screen the shirt that was bought last night. Men are from Mars, women are from Venus, all others are from Uranus. And it is now break time. Boy, I don't know if you want to stick around for the next half hour. You don't have to. We didn't commit to it, but I got to take a three-minute break.
Take a break. I got to get going, but I'm going to try to stay close. So I'll keep hearing you.
All right.
Thank you.
homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details, or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
I am just an average man, and I do really just want to be left alone. I'm Peter Serafin, and this is the final segment of National Intel Report, Liberty Lighthouse. And I was just looking up one of the sponsors there, 3D Bunkers. That looks cool. 3DBunkers.com. 3D printed polymer concrete in like 2 days. It's awesome. I'm going to have to check that out. Anyway, welcome back to the show. Where was I going? You know, Loy brought up a lot of stuff. We need to help Loy Brunson out. His case is very important. The oath to the Constitution is why I do what I do. Like I said, it was December 31st, 1990. That's what a way to spend New Year's Eve, right? December 31st, 1990, 18-year-old me stand in a military entrance processing station, raise my right hand, swore the oath to the U.S. Constitution for the first time. And then about 5 years ago, I looked around the world and went, this is getting crazy. And I need to do something about that oath. And that's when I started to get involved in politics. I've written 2 books. You can find those at liberty-lighthouse.com along with the funny t-shirts. But I've written 2 books, and I started the show, and I write articles and blog posts and stuff like that. I do what I can to try to get people to remember that it's the U.S. Constitution that made the United States the beacon of hope around the world. It's the U.S. Constitution that made the United States the home of liberty and freedom, that spawned all of the liberty and freedom movements around the world in the following century. It's the U.S. Constitution that today is still used in uprisings as the shining example of what a government could be. But that's not the government that we have anymore. And that's actually the next shirt I plan to make and put on the show, on the website, something to the effect of proud to be American, ashamed of my government, or something like that. I haven't quite figured it out, but it's bouncing around in my head, and there'll be a new t-shirt going up on liberty-lighthouse.com here real soon. So we've kind of bounced around a lot. I usually try to spend the majority of the 2 hours of this show on one particular topic, but you know what? We bounced around a lot tonight. We started with the Biden economy, the Bidenomics, as they're now calling it, Bidenflation, as I've always called it. Then we had Scott Thompson coming on. We were talking about the 1.6 million defensive gun uses in our country every year, saving at least 1.6 million innocent lives, probably more, but we'll never know, because there was a good guy with a gun there to stop whatever horrible thing was going to happen. Then we went on to Loy Brunson's website, or lawsuit, the Supreme Court case. I think next I want to talk about the latest thing that the Supreme Court did. Just, I don't know, a few hours ago, the Supreme Court released their decision about affirmative action in college. And they said that you can't use race in college admissions anymore. Affirmative action has been determined to be racist. Duh. I think anybody who understood the Constitution realized that affirmative action was racist the moment it was proposed. And it took, what, 30 years? 40 years? How long has it been for the Supreme Court to finally do something about it? And they've done it in college admissions, but only in college admissions. What about hiring? What about promotions? What about out in the real world? I mean, Title IX protects us from discrimination in a lot of different situations, not just in college admissions. So how long do you think it's going to be before the next case is brought up about all of the diversity, equity, and inclusion movements and push that's been going on in the world lately? See, DIE, DEI, die would probably be more appropriate, but diversity, equity, and inclusion has been pushed for, you know, a couple of years now, pretty hard and heavy. That's basically affirmative action. So how is this going to work out? Is that going to be the next big case that shows up in front of the Supreme Court? And if so, can we expect the same 6-3 ruling that we got for the college admissions affirmative action case? I don't know the answer to that, but I'm not done talking about it yet either. I want to hear what you have to say. It is a live call-in show. Please call in at 512-248-8252. Or if you want the toll-free line, it's 800-313-9443. Call in and tell me what you think about the Supreme Court case ending affirmative action in college admissions. The other thing I want to talk about in that whole situation is, the latest Supreme Court justice, Ms. Ketanji Brown Jackson, and for that matter, our vice president, Ms. Kamala Harris. Wouldn't the
fact that, like, both of those people got their jobs because the president of the United States said beforehand that he was going to appoint a black female vice president. That's affirmative action. Ketanji Brown Jackson, the same thing with the Supreme Court. The president said, I will appoint a black female justice given the chance to do so. And he did. That's affirmative action. So it's no surprise that Ketanji Brown Jackson was one of the three justices that dissented from that opinion, the 6-3 decision ending affirmative action in college, because it was affirmative action. It was the only reason she has her job. Just let's face it. Black people make up 13% of the population. So if you think black women would make up, let's say, 7% of the population, and what percentage of that 7% do you think goes to law school, becomes an attorney, becomes qualified to be a Supreme Court justice? Whatever happened to meritocracy? Why don't we just pick the best person for the job anymore, regardless of race, creed, color, gender, identity, whatever? We have to make everything about skin color. I just popped into my head. I don't have it in my notes, so forgive me if I mess up details of this. Somebody can out there, you can fact check me and you can correct me. But one of the big orchestras, and like the Boston Philharmonic, like one of the really big orchestras in our country, they used to do their auditions as literally blind auditions. They had a screen up on the stage where you could not see the person playing their instrument. So they were hired entirely, strictly, and solely on their ability to play their instrument, to do what it is that they're applying for. That's a perfect meritocracy. The person who sounds the best is going to get the job playing in the orchestra. My God. But of course, not terribly long ago, like within the last couple of years, they decided that that wasn't equitable. So they removed the screen and they can now see who's playing because they want to give credit based on skin color. Again, affirmative action. So when does that come to an end? Just because it's end in, you know, it has to end in the college admissions process, doesn't mean it's ending everywhere yet. We need to do something about it. Thanks to Chris over in watching the video via the RBN YouTube channel, who says that he will spread the word this July 4th weekend, spread the word of the letter writing campaign of Lloyd Brunson. I hope you're saying, I'm sorry, any one of you that is watching through the RBN YouTube channel, I can't reply to you via text in the comments. I'm sorry. So I quite honestly ignore a bunch of these. We got Eyes on the Audit said hello and thank you very much. We got a whole bunch from Chris here. Brian and Debbie McCartney, like I can't reply in the text of the comments because it's a paired channel. Sorry about that. Starting next week when I have my own YouTube channel, if you watch from there, I'll be able to type comments. But for now, sorry, can't do that. So yeah, go out and follow my YouTube channel. That will be up by next weekend. It's at Liberty-Lighthouse, at Liberty-Lighthouse. So I'd really like to hear from you about some of this stuff. I want to know what your thoughts are of the affirmative action thing. Am I wrong? is it going to spread beyond the college admission process? I really hope it is, because this is, it's silly to have it only work in one area, but not others. Anyway, you know what? I haven't done one of my little funny parody bits in quite some time. So let's try one of those right now.
Do you feel that your neighbor should pay for your overpriced, worthless college degree? Do you think some guns should be banned just because they look scary? Do you believe the phrase "all lives matter" is racist, but "Black Lives Matter" is social justice? Are fascist tactics acceptable when used for anti-fascist causes? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you may be one of the almost 50% of Americans suffering from a disease known as liberal progressivism. Recognizing the early warning signs is the key to recovery. A few of the early warning signs are feeling offended by 100-year-old statues, the desire to silence opposing opinions, and blindly following edicts without question. There is hope. A complete recovery may still be possible. A little pill called Liberty is the key to healing. Combine Liberty in a cocktail of common sense and personal responsibility, and liberal progressivism is reversible. Liberal progressivism is a serious disease that should be treated immediately. This message brought to you by the Founding Fathers in conjunction with the United States Constitution. The United States of America is the greatest country in the history of the world.
Okay. So, still hoping to hear your calls regarding the Supreme Court affirmative action case, but I'm going to move on. I spent a bunch of time in the last day or so playing with ChatGPT. I don't know if any of you have done that yet, and I encourage you to do so. And I'm going to explain why. I think it's important because it's a artificial intelligence language model that learns not only what's on the internet, but it learns from the individual transactions with the people that use it. So I think we should teach it some things. So I got on there and I asked some questions, and I said, you know, please list the enumerated powers of the U.S. Constitution. And its answer was, the enumerated powers in the United States Constitution refer to the specific powers granted to the federal government. And then it says these powers are outlined in Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, and it lists the 16 points of Article 1, Section 8. I thought that was pretty neat. But it also then said, it's worth noting that the 10th Amendment to the Constitution reserves power not specifically granted to the federal government to the states or the people. What? ChatGPT knows that if the government is trying to do one of the things that's not listed, that they shouldn't be doing it? Surprising. But then I argued with it, basically. I said, well, the federal government clearly does more than you listed. What is my recourse? And the answer was, you are correct. The federal government's powers and responsibilities extend beyond the specific enumerated powers outlined in the U.S. Constitution. Over time, the interpretation and application of the Constitution have evolved through various legal doctrines, court rulings, and amendments. This has resulted in the expansion of federal authority in certain areas. ChatGPT, an AI language model that was proven to be clearly liberal bias in the beginning, is acknowledging that our federal government has overstepped its bounds. I was impressed. It says if you believe the federal government has overstepped its boundaries, well, you can, you know, judicial review, advocacy and public engagement, legislative action, constitutional amendments. Like, it lists out the things that we can do, not in great detail, but it gives a little bit of how to address our government, redress grievances to our government. Funny. Well, then I thought, all right, let's get into some more opinionated stuff. So I thought, you know, What about the Constitution Party? For those out there who don't know me, I am registered to the Constitution Party of the United States. I am not a Democrat nor a Republican. I am a constitutionalist. So I asked ChatGPT, what is the Constitution Party of the United States? And its answer was, the Constitution Party is a political party in the United States that promotes a platform based on strict adherence to the original intent of the U.S. Constitution. The party places a strong emphasis on limited government, individual liberty, free markets, constitutional principles. It seeks to uphold what is considered to be the foundational values of the United States. I asked that question, and I wholeheartedly expected ChatGPT to answer me with right-wing extremist political party or something to that effect. And it didn't. It gave, well, really the real value of the Constitution Party. Then it gave a little bit of history saying that, you know, it was founded in 1992 as the U.S. Taxpayer Party and changed its name in 99 and blah, 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 blah. And then it goes on and it lists 7 points of the party platform, none of which seems inherently biased. I was confused because I had already heard from other talk show hosts that ChatGPT was programmed and had a clear liberal bias. And so I said, well, is fair tax a good idea? And it wouldn't answer because, you know, it's an AI language model. It can't determine a good idea from a bad idea, but here are the arguments in favor of fair tax, and it gave 4 bullet points. And then it gave, here are some of the arguments against fair tax, and it gave 4 bullet points again. So not only has it learned to be somewhat unbiased, like it learned to give 4 bullet points for and four bullet points against, but I thought that some of the bullet points against were kind of shabby. I thought they were pretty easily debunked. So I argued a little bit with ChatGPT. I said, I can't find it because I don't have an order. I argued with it and said, well, one of your bullet points against is that the potential economic impact would be regressive to the lower income people. And I said, well, the bill addresses that with a prebate. And then it comes on and it goes, oh, you're right, it does. And then it says one of the bullet points against was the administrative challenges of establishing a consumption-based tax. And I said, but there really is no administrative challenge. Every state in the nation already has a sales tax. Just tap into the existing system to collect the money. And it argued. And it said that, it's not quite that easy and all this other kind of stuff. That was fun. I think it's important that we do that. Whether we like it or not, artificial intelligence, AI, things like ChatGPT, they're coming. And they're going to take over a lot of, just question and answer kind of jobs. There's a lot of newspaper articles out there that you've probably read that were written by some kind of artificial intelligence. I asked it to write me an article, actually. I said, write me an article about why 1913 was a terrible year as a constitutional originalist. And it did. It bashed on the 16th Amendment as encroaching on states' rights and changing the structure and the flow of money, and it did good. And it mentioned the Federal Reserve. And it did good. It didn't talk about the 17th Amendment. So I asked it again. I said, well, what about the 17th Amendment? Wasn't that bad too? And it replied to that and said, well, as a constitutional originalist, you would think that, yeah, it is bad because you're taking power from states and attacking the state sovereignty and independence. So, you know, I've always said that 1913 was a terrible year for our country, and I give three reasons: the 16th Amendment, the 17th Amendment, and the creation of the Federal Reserve. ChatGPT got two of the three, and when I brought up the third, it agreed. Well, it agreed as a constitutionalist that I would think that. Anyway, I think it's important that we go to these things and we argue with it. Have these conversations and help it learn. One of the fun ones that I did, I asked it about gun violence. I'm trying to find it in my notes as I'm talking. I'm sorry. I asked about how many people die in, or how many people are shot in Chicago. And it went on this long diatribe about how, well, it's not Chicago as a whole. It's a couple of certain areas. There. The question I asked was, why are there so many shootings in Chicago? And the answer was, the issue of shootings and violence in Chicago is complex and multifaceted problem, a complex and multifaceted problem that has been the subject of much analysis and discussion, blah, 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 blah. And it gave a few reasons. Number one, socioeconomic factors. Number two, gang activity. Number three, illegal firearms. Number four, community trust. Number five, systemic issues. And it gave a little bit more detail on all of those. So the next I asked, well, when was the last time there was a homicide in Kennesaw, Georgia? And it said, I'm not able to access that information. So I looked it up. And I told ChatGPT, well, according to my records, the last recorded homicide in Kennesaw, Georgia was 2014. And in Kennesaw, Georgia, every homeowner is required to have a firearm. Isn't there a correlation to the extremely low homicide rate to the ownership of firearms? And ChatGPT said, oh, wait, you can't claim causality of the presence of guns. So I threw that back at ChatGPT and said, well, couldn't the same be done for anti-gun laws? You can't claim that violence goes down because you pass a new gun law, like in Chicago. And at this point, this argument was actually getting fun because you could almost hear the wheels grinding in ChatGPT. When I brought up Kennesaw, Georgia, one homicide since 2014, the thinking time with a little cursor flashing on the screen, but nothing being printed yet, was the longest of any of the questions I had asked it. I probably sat on the couch for like a half an hour asking ChatGPT fun questions. And usually it threw something up pretty quick. But that one made it think. It also made me look. Kennesaw, Georgia, now I think the data I was looking at was from 2021, so 2 years ago. But at that time, 9 out of the 10 years going back in history, going backwards, 9 out of the 10 years, they had had zero homicides in Kennesaw. 1 year, 2014, they had one. So in 10 years, Kennesaw, Georgia had one person killed by a firearm. I'm apt to think that's because everybody, all the criminals, know that there's probably a gun in every house. That makes sense to me. So why did the anti-gun argument not be the inverse? Like, why doesn't logic? I don't understand why people can't see it. You know, the four or five cities in our country that are all run by Democratic administrations that have been, like, largely controlled by Democrat administrations. I mean, like, really largely Democrat administrations for decades have the highest crime rates, the highest murder rates. You know, if you look at, you know, death by gunfire in the 192 countries of the world or whatever it is, we're ranked like number six. Like, we're pretty high up there. But if you take out those four or five Democrat cities that all have the strictest gun laws, you take them out, and we drop to like 185. That's crazy, right? I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's my own personal bias, but that seems obvious. Why can't more people see it? Or do most people see it? Just not those in charge. That's always possible. They don't seem to pay attention to us, nor do they seem to have common sense. Anyway, we've come to the end of the show. If you're listening live on Republic Broadcasting Network here Thursday night, please stay tuned for Edge of Darkness with Jeffrey Bennett. Thank you to my two guests for joining me this evening. Greatly appreciate that. Thank you, Mike, my producer. Could not do this show without you. And thank you most of all to you, my listeners and callers. After all, you are why I do this show. Until next week, protect your liberties. Once they're gone, there's no getting them back. God bless America. We must take the medical bed.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.